This is Vatican Radio, and I'm Tracy McClure. Peace-building among communities and faiths has long been a part of Catholic social teaching, and it's not just about building up peace between countries or communities at war. Even when bombs aren't falling and guns fall silent, the Catholic Church says social relationships have to be rebuilt and victims of violence rehabilitated with a vision for the long term. Marianne Cusimano-Love, Associate Professor of International Relations at the Catholic University of America, is one of the Church's leading experts on peacebuilding and an expert on terrorism. She is on the core group for the U.S. State Department's Working Group on Religion and Foreign Policy and serves on the U.S. Catholic Bishops International Justice and Peace Committee. I asked Professor Love how Christians, Muslims, and Jews can contribute to world peace today, and realistically, how can they cooperate towards that goal?
I think one of the things that's important to note is we're at a time when states are challenged around the world in dealing with many problems, from terrorism to ethnic violence to civil wars, and religion is resurgent around the world. So you're looking, where are there some functional capacity that we can have to try to build peace? And religions can be a very important source of that. And I know that seems counterintuitive, you know, because certainly since September 11th, but often religion is painted as the bad guy, the source of war, or else religion is unimportant. You know, the idea that Joseph Stalin said during the Second World War, how many divisions does the Pope have? You know, if you don't have armies, you can't be very important. But I think that really overlooks the tremendous power that religious organizations have in providing education, in providing health care, in providing emergency and humanitarian assistance. And in that work, they build relationships. They build relationships with people on the ground in areas of conflict so that when war comes and governments are not able to respond, who can you talk to who has relationships with the people, who may be able to bring the combatants to the peace table, who certainly are able to serve the displaced, the refugees, the internally displaced, the victims of conflict, and who have a rich on-the-ground knowledge. So I think first is that religious groups can be very helpful and are very helpful in building peace around the world. The second part is how these traditions can work together. And that's increasingly important because not only is religion resurgent and states are challenged, but globalization is mixing. It's mixing everyone together. So increasingly, places that had not been previously pluralistic in religion now are. So we're finding that we have to work together much more than we have been perhaps in the past. And there have been really exciting breakthroughs in that. Archbishop Ledesma from the Philippines, he has been working for almost 30 years now with the Bishops Ulama Dialogue in the southern area of the Philippines where there's been ongoing conflict. And the imams and the bishops have been working together to build relationships, to build trust across the religious borders and to help build peace there.
One of the things that Pope Benedict has been urging Catholics to do is to jumpstart this new evangelization. But sometimes evangelization can lead to conversion, and that itself is an issue between different faith communities. How do we not start wars, but we bring peace about through this also, this very Catholic initiative of new evangelization?
Mm-hmm. Evangelization can take many forms. And for the peace builders around the world, one of the most important forms is through our deeds. They will know we are Christians by our love. So Caritas Internationalis, which is one of the main relief and humanitarian aid organizations of the Church, they serve all based on need, not by creed. And they are not allowed in many situations to be passing out Bibles or offering baptism, but many times people, after experiencing the work of the Church and the care of the Church, are so moved by that witness of Christ's presence in the world that they then ask, can I know more about your faith? What is it in your faith that brings you to serve me? And I am not of your tribe, of your ethnicity, of your religion, yet you are caring more for me than sometimes people who might share some of those characteristics with me. So I think you're right if you are, that can often cause concerns. But the way we go about it is very important. And if we are known by our deeds, I think that can go quite a long way to generating goodwill. One thing that's very interesting is many times the Church, in areas where they are a minority, are doing workshops across their diocese, across the country, available to people from all faith backgrounds. So training workshops in human rights, in civic participation, in what the constitutional rights are and how they can try to proceed to peacefully resolve conflicts. And so they're using Catholic social teaching, and they're generating these workshops for the population, but not by the basis of creed or ethnic background. These are open to all. So it's very interesting the ways in which even minority, in places where the church is very much a minority, where they can be kind of a leaven for the larger society.
So I'd like to ask one question about the Middle East and the big sweeping changes that we're seeing there, the Middle East and North Africa. Is the international community morally responsible for what happens in that region of the world? And is it accountable for peace between majority and minority communities?
Right. So the responsibility to protect is something that's an emerging norm at the United Nations, an emerging norm in international law, and certainly something the Catholic Church has been very vibrant in pursuing, this responsibility to protect. But the responsibility does not tell you at what point it becomes an obligation to use military force to protect civilians who are being killed by their own government. And, of course, that's the hard part. The responsibility to protect says we all have responsibilities. Most of the responsibilities are non-military in nature. Every way that you can try to prevent the conflict, to avert the conflict, to stop it once it's underway. So military force is the absolute last tier in that system. But at what point does there become an obligation to protect those when their governments are doing the killing? And that's the choice, obviously, that the international community is facing now in Syria and faced in Libya. Of course, everyone's hope is that it won't come to that. It's still unknown in the situation in Syria. Who has control of those forces? Does the president have control of the military? Is the military undergoing this on its own? So there's still a lot of questions unknown. But that's where the church can help build these institutions, can help build the norms about putting humans first, putting people first, whereas the typical response of states is, well, we need to first protect the state. And the churches play a very important role in saying we need to put people first and we need to put human security before state security. And that's where interreligious voices are very important in raising up the important value of human life.
How can families also contribute to world peace?
Well, one of the things we talked about in education, are we teaching peace in our families? Are we helping people appreciate? Are we helping our children appreciate our vocation to be peace builders? That it's not for the governments of countries to do, and this isn't a job for soldiers and diplomats. That this is a job for all of us to build peace in our families, to build peace in our communities, to build peace among communities of difference with different ethnic and religious groups, and to go out with confidence. Because we are followers of the Prince of Peace. This is what he gave us. This is the mission he instilled in us. This is the mission our church sends us out for. So we're not doing something unknown. We're doing something that's very much at the heart of the Christian tradition and enabling our families to do that and encouraging that, both in terms of conflict resolution within families, and so many families are facing fractures within their families, as well as externally.
Marianne Love, Associate Professor of International Relations at the Catholic University of America.